Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, March 12th, episode 131, and let's get started with our tip-off topics. Obviously, for a lot of this is going to be college basketball heavy, but let's start in the NBA with the hottest team in the NBA, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers, who come off a 109-104 win over the Brooklyn Nets. Looked shaky a little bit as the Nets were up by 15 points in the third quarter. I was actually on in-game live with Joe Maddon and Scotty Wetzel, and I jumped on Cleveland on the money line. Number one, Brooklyn Nets team that blew a huge lead of 20-point second-quarter lead to OKC a couple of weeks ago, and then also the fact that Brooklyn was on the second leg of a back-to-back and had to travel to Cleveland. But this is about Cleveland. This is about Cleveland that played without Donovan Mitchell, a Cleveland Cavaliers team that played without DeAndre Hunter, and still found a way to claw themselves back. And I think that's what speaks to what is so good about this team. And I keep telling people about this. It's you as a coach, and you prep for games. The hardest thing to do is to prep for a team that's got balance, right? So when you think of the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell's giving you 24.2 points per game, having a great year, right? But then Garland's giving you 21. Mobley's giving you 19. Hunter's giving you 14.3. Allen's giving you a double-double at 13.6, 10.3. I mean, Ty Jerome's giving you 11.9. Max Strus is giving you 9. You know, Sam Merrill's giving you 7.1. Wade is giving you 5.5, and Okoro's giving you 5.7. It's a hard team to defend. And, you know, when you keep looking at the odds, they're still far behind Boston. It's just because Cleveland hasn't done it in a big spot. But you got to love what Kenny Atkinson has built there to a point where guys are having really good years. You know, when you talk about, like we said, Spider Mitchell, 24.2. Folks, that's the lowest of his scoring career since 2019-2020, right? But he's shooting at the highest of his career, 38.4 from three. You know, he's getting you 4.8 assists, so he's a little bit down. So he's willing to take the ball out of his hands so other guys can become more of a better shooter. What a job Kenny Atkinson has done for Cleveland. Let's head to the college game. And the end of a career took place last night. We had talked about Coach Locks taking over the program at Florida State, which means last night was the last game for Leonard Hamilton in a 66-62 loss to Syracuse. And I want to make sure we quickly give this man, who is 76 years old. Folks, if I'm 76 years old and I got that much energy, God bless me. This guy has been the head coach of Florida State since 2002. And you just think about the fact that, yes, it's been lean years. Last 4 years have been really tough. But you look at before that, a team that didn't have a ton of rich basketball history. They had some players back in the day, Sam Cassell, Charlie Ward, Bobby Sura in the early 90s. But this guy finally gets his team to the NCAA tournament in 2008, 2009, and they go every year till 2012, and they make another couple of runs, including a couple of Sweet 16 runs. And one Sweet 16 run was interrupted by the COVID pandemic. This is about giving a man his flowers for what he has done. We continue to lose great coaches in this game. And Leonard Hamilton has not talked enough about what he did making Florida State relevant year after year, being at a football school. I don't think people understand that. Thank you, Coach Hamilton, for what you have done for Florida State. Let's go to the other side of the country, where Gonzaga won 58-51 over St. Mary's as a 3.5-point favorite, and a game that, when I was on last night with Joe and with Scotty Wetzel, I predicted this. Simply put, folks, it is hard to beat a team three times in a row. And Gonzaga, with that 58-51 win, won, I do believe, Mark Few's 20th WCC title. So what is that? Gonzaga is going to be the weirdest team to place in this tournament. They have a 9. Their Ken Pom rating is 9. Right? So they got one of the best Ken Pom ratings in the country. But usually they do a better job of quad one wins. They don't have the quad one wins this year. Only 4-6. If quad one, quad two, that's 10-8. If you think about quad one wins, Arkansas's got 5. Kansas State's got 5. I'm looking at teams that, I mean, Ohio State has 6. West Virginia has 6. BYU has 6. So it's amazing. It's basically what is they play who they have to play. I'm going to say this. There was talk at one point about making a Super League and putting Gonzaga in the Big East. I don't know if that would ever work because you're going to need a travel partner out west. But Gonzaga gets penalized this year, and they're going to probably be like a 6 or 7 seed. Folks, that could be an upset in the making because Mark Few is a hell of a coach. When you have a guy like Khalif Battle and obviously Graham Ike, those two are enough to get you over the top. Congratulations to Gonzaga for winning the WCC tournament. Let's stay in a college game. And really, I want to spend a minute or two talking about this because I'm starting to hear things from coaches, from ADs. And it was a tweet that I put out yesterday, and it said, that a quick take that should have everyone's attention. With TCU's women's basketball and St. John's men's basketball making huge second-year leaps on their Mark Campbell and Rick Pitino, the narrative is shifting. ADs are getting restless, and patience for slow rebuilds is wearing thin. There's going to be a lot of movement in the women's game. I don't know much in the men's game, but a lot in the women's game is already taking place with major jobs opening up. The reason why I said it is Pitino went to St. John's and has turned his team into a top 6 team in the country. Mark Campbell went to a team that was dead last in the Big 12 3 years ago and had them win the conference championship and most likely will be a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Why? Transfer portal, NIL, great coaching, great recruiting. It's going to change the narrative of what you see now in college athletics. You used to get a 4-year deal, 2 to 2.5 years in, they would extend you. You'd have 5 to 6 years to turn it around. Folks, people are getting fired in under 4 years now. You want to blame 2 guys? Blame Rick Pitino. Blame Mark Campbell for the hell of a jobs that they have done for their respective universities and competing with teams that have more. It simply comes down to this. It's going to change next year. It's going to change. Well, in 2026, I should say, when revenue sharing comes in and you're going to have to rely more on recruiting. Simply put, the transfer portal and the NIL allow you to turn things around fast. And if you don't turn around fast, you could get fired quicker than you expect. Coming up next after the commercial break, we'll get into our award tour. We'll talk about odds to make the Eastern Conference playoffs, and we'll look at odds to make the Western Conference playoffs. We will be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to episode 131 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. And it's time to get into our award tour where we look at the future market in basketball. And with the NCAA tournament being next week, right, and us really, Matt and I really focusing on that, we wanted to kind of look at their odds to make the playoffs in the Eastern and Western Conference. Now, when you look at the East, it's pretty set in stone, unless something goes crazy. Cleveland, who already clinched a spot, Boston, New York, Milwaukee, Indiana, Detroit. Those six are pretty much cut and dry. Who's going? They should be the top six seeds. The interesting thing is when you get to who gets 7 and 8. Remember, when you talk about odds to make the Eastern Conference playoff, this is the final eight. This is not the play-in. It's a totally separate bet that you can do on FanDuel. When you look at the odds to make the playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks are minus 250. Orlando's minus 164. Miami is minus 148. And Chicago is plus 520. That's as of last night, early this morning. They may have moved, some of the odds may have moved about 50 cents over the course of today at recording, until we got to recording time. So how do you bet this where you have three teams at minus 148 or worse for two spots? What it means, folks, is FanDuel doesn't think that Chicago is going to make the playoffs. Chicago is right now the 10th seed. They're kind of locked in. They're three games out of the loss column versus Miami, right? And it's going to take a miracle for them to get past Miami. And I still think if they get past Miami in the 9-10 game, I think that the Heat are going to be favored. If you kind of even look at the strength of schedule coming down the pipe, you know, Miami has the sixth easiest. The seventh easiest is going to be Chicago. Eighth easiest is Orlando. So they all got pretty easy schedules down the pipe. The reason why Atlanta really quick is the favorite is they have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. I just want you to kind of understand where this goes. So how do you bet this? Well, if it were to end today, Atlanta would play Orlando, Miami would play Chicago. I can't bet Miami. I mean, I can't bet Chicago. So I think the way you do it is you play it by game. If the lines aren't too big, take Miami minus a point in the 9-10 game versus Chicago. And then I would just go Heat money line to go on the road to win game in the 7-8 game. I just always believe, and I know that maybe there's no such thing as this Heat culture, but I think they're going to get it right. They've lost four games in a row, but I just feel like they're going to figure it out at some point. And do know that technically, the only reason why Orlando's ahead of Miami is because of winning percentage. Miami's actually got one less loss than Orlando. So to me, if you want to say a team makes a playoff, sure, go Miami at minus 148, but it's over minus 150, so I wouldn't go there. I would just take the Heat, money line, if they're the 7-8 game versus Atlanta. If not, if it's 9-10, take a minus of points versus Chicago, and then take them on the money line to make the playoffs, because that game, they'll be on the road, and the Heat should be at plus money. Remember, that's, of course, if everything stays the way. The West is even crazier, because the Golden State Warriors are minus 4,500 to make the playoffs. Houston is minus 4,500 as well. Minnesota minus 1,250. Clippers minus 355. And the 2.5 to 1 for Sacramento, plus 680 for Phoenix, and plus 820 for Dallas. Okay? So when you look at the seeds out west, the Warriors are the sixth seed. They're minus 4,500. They only got one game less lost than the Timberwolves, right? So this is all based on they feel like these two teams, Golden State and Houston, are going to make it. I believe Minnesota is going to make it. So where do you make money? If it comes down to the eighth spot, and it's the Clippers at minus 355 right in the eighth slot, Sacramento is the ninth slot right now at plus 250, Dallas is plus 820, they have the injuries at the 10, and then you have Phoenix at plus 680 near the 11. It's not even on the board. Take the Clippers at plus 270 to miss the playoffs. If they stay, if they're 7 or 8, and it's Minnesota or Golden State, I'm taking those teams over the Clippers. If it's Sacramento and the Clippers 7-8, I'm taking Sacramento. So to me, I just don't believe, as much as Tyronn Lue has done a great job, I think it's going to be still a case where I don't think the Clippers make the playoffs. So if you pull up those odds again, real quick, Matt, this is not about who makes the playoffs. It's the fact that if I think the Clippers are going to be the eighth slot, rather than betting Sacramento, Phoenix, or Dallas to get the eighth slot, I'd rather just go take the Clippers at plus 270 to miss the playoffs. Now, a lot of things can happen, folks. It's tight. Between Golden State and Sacramento, it's 3 games in a loss column. So a lot can change. The question that's going to be coming down everybody's mind is, what do we do about Phoenix? They're the 11th seed. But right now, this is why they're plus 680. It's not because what we think they are. It's the fact that they have the toughest schedule left in the NBA. They still have to play the Cavs, the Thunder, the Celtics twice, the Knicks, the Lakers, and the Rockets twice. Yikes. May be a rough offseason for Phoenix. Coming up after this commercial break, we'll get into our scouting report. We'll preview the rematch between the Lakers and the Nuggets. We'll take a look at a big matchup between the Cavs and the Grizzlies. We'll take a look at the Clippers versus the Hawks. And we'll look at Orlando versus Minnesota. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 131. And it's time to get into our scouting report as we preview the top games in the NBA. And we're going to stick to Friday because when Matt and I were looking at the schedule, Friday seemed to just have a boatload of games that we both thought were going to be fantastic. And let's lead off with the first one, which is the Lakers at the Nuggets. If you remember, this was kind of Luka Doncic's breakout game. It was on a Saturday night. Kevin Walsh and I did a in-game live broadcast during this game, in which the Nuggets got absolutely blown out. And Nikola Jokic took, I think, 7 shots. So to me, when you kind of look at this matchup, you're not going to get that. You're going to get a different version of the Joker. If you think about since that game against the Lakers, this guy has gone absolutely nuclear. How nuclear? He's got an 18-19-1, and then 1-2, 2 straight double-doubles. And he's had a double-double in every game. And then, of course, there was the Friday night 149-141 win where he went 31-21-22. Oh, my God, he's pissed off. We're going to keep it simple. There's no way in hell you're going to see this guy have 12. If it was a 12-13-10 game, I'm going to think he's going over his points prop. Give me Nikola Jokic over his points prop because I think they're going to find a way to feed him the ball. And give me the Nuggets to win the game. Remember, LeBron probably is not going to play. Let's move on to another matchup where the hottest team in the NBA, we just talked about them, the Cleveland Cavaliers head south to take on Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. And if you kind of look at what's going on with Cleveland, they will not be on a back-to-back, right? Neither team will be on a back-to-back, so there'll be no big rest advantage either way. So we have to take a look at that at that game as being important. Now, I do think one of the teams is on a back-to-back the next night, okay? But to me, I can't get in front of Cleveland until you lose. It shouldn't be a big spread. Obviously, we'll see what happens to Donovan Mitchell, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter. But we already know that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Sandy Aldama will be out. So it's going to negate some of the front court play, which then kind of allows Evan Mobley and Jared Allen to eat. Let's go ahead and take the Cleveland Cavaliers on the money line to win at Memphis. Next game, Clippers, Atlanta. I've told you that I'm not a big believer in the Clippers. You know, I know that, you know, Tyronn Lue, arguably one of the five best coaches in the NBA, has done a great job with this team. James Harden's had a very good season. But this should be interesting here. A Clippers team that's on an East Coast road trip versus the Hawks team that's won three games in a row. I know, they beat one game without – they beat, you know, Philadelphia without Maxi, PG, and Embiid, and they beat without Halliburton. I don't care. I'm taking the Hawks here. I'm taking the Hawks to get the win at home. Should be extremely tight spread. They're 16-16 at home. They're playing pretty good basketball. Norman Powell will be out. Ben Simmons is out. Kawhi Leonard out. Shocking to no one whatsoever. So to me, we'll see if Trae Young plays. But to me, let's go with Atlanta to win at home. Last one, Orlando, Minnesota. Orlando's been up and down. Minnesota's been playing really well. Simply put, let's go at Minnesota minus the points. And let's get to our buzzer beater, because it literally happened as we were recording. Is South Carolina won 72, I'm sorry, lost to Arkansas 72-68. Why is it of significance? Look right there. Arkansas was up 47-30 at the break, and this game was a one-point game with a minute and a half to go. Here's why I'm saying this. We talked about hiring new coaches. We talked about, you know, with the transfer portal and NIL trying to do it right. Someone that has not done it right is John Calipari. And if you are in the bubble and you're trying to make your case to make the NCAA tournament, you have to be ready, folks, playing your best basketball at the right time. To be up 17 on a bad South Carolina team and to turn around and almost blow the game is a bad look. Arkansas better turn it around or they're going to be home. I don't care what happens in the SEC tournament. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for March 12th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next Monday, we'll be heavy onto the NCAA tournament. For Matty George and Vinny, thanks for listening. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.